Praise God. Here we are again, some of us in our homes and some of us here at the church doing the Bible studies. And welcome to week four of our home friendship group. This week, the subject I've been given is Born Again, Now What? We are living in a society that questions everything, the necessity and the possibility of moral absolutes. Apostolic people must believe in the existence of truth, that God and his word is real, and without fail, they must act upon the truth to work out their own salvation. So born again, now what? In Psalms 92, if you'd like to turn there with me to chapter 92, verse 12 and 13. It says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. We need to be planted in the house of the Lord. We need to be planted. We need to know where we're going and not be just drifting around. In Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3, David said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. I was stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. For I was envious. I looked around and I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And sometimes that's the way it seems to us. The wicked seem to always be prosperous. But then in verse 17, David said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood the end. All of us at some point of time will have to stand before God. People can deny it, but that's not the truth. The truth of God's word is we will stand before God, all of us. Being born again is a lifelong pursuit to become a follower, a disciple, or a disciplined one of Jesus, following the word of God. We have repented of our sins, and the word repent, and many of you have seen it acted out, you know, walking one way, and then we're told to repent, and we turn around and we walk back the other way. The word repent means we have had a turnaround in our life, turned from the way we were going unto a new and living way. We've changed direction. So many refer to the Christian way as a walk. Others refer to it as a marathon. Whichever, it doesn't matter. But the scripture says, to whom much is given, much is required. So if you have known the wonderful blessings of God, if you've experienced his love and his grace and his mercy, then much is required from you. If I look at my own life and I look back and I wonder where I would be had it not been for Jesus. His love for me, very evident. His patience and his peace that I experience. Where would I be had it not been for Jesus? Many of my family members have and are seeking counselors' advice. Physicians, they go here, they go there, all to try and help them. Some take medications and others take drugs or alcohol. But I say to you tonight, had it not been for the blood of Jesus, had it not been for Mount Calvary, had it not been for that old rugged cross or a man called Jesus, where would I be? Where would you be if it had not been for Jesus? When we read Luke chapter 12, you might like to turn there if you've got your Bibles. As the preachers always say, nothing better than hearing the pages turn. But the second half of Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And of whom men have committed much, of him they shall ask more. How do we make it that we will give much? In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, after we have been filled with the Holy Ghost, we are assured that we will live victorious because we're not on our own. We have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and that's how we live that victorious, overcoming life. We embark on the Christian life, and we will need to make some new habits. We'll have to walk differently. We can't do the same as we've always done, because you know what? If you do the same as you've always done, you get the same as you've always got. So we have to change. And that word repent means we're walking in another direction. Things have to change. We will have new visions. We will have new loves. We will have new desires. And to make changes to our habits and be victorious, we need to be very intentional and disciplined about those things and about being in that new way. There is a saying that says, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for everything or anything. We need to set ourselves some boundaries. And boundaries are not bad. Boundaries or guardrails or disciplines are our friend, because that keeps us where we desire to go. I have many boundaries in my life. I have many guardrails that, you know, you can hit them, but you don't destroy yourself. You don't go over the edge. As the Apostle Paul says, I keep my body under, lest I become a castaway. We can't just say whatever, whatever. We have to be determined and disciplined and set ourselves those boundaries to keep us on the straight and narrow. So tonight, I've listed 5 habits that we will need to develop in our walk for God. Habits can be our friend. I know that habits can chain us as well, but habits are very liberating. David had wonderful habits. He said, 7 times a day, Lord, I will praise thee. Daniel, he had great habits. 3 times a day, he would open those windows and he would give thanks to God. And Jesus had habits as well, because it says he was in the synagogue as his custom was. So habits can be our very good friends. We need to develop some very strong, good habits. So the first habit that I want to talk about tonight is church attendance. I personally have always desired to be in the house of God whenever the doors are open and the lights are on. Have I always felt like it? To be honest, no. That's the truth. Sometimes you just don't feel like it. But because it's your habit, you will do it. And you know what? The house of God is the best place for you to be, even when you don't feel like it. It's the best place. In the house of God, when you are there, you are surrounded by other Christians, and there'll be encouragement. You don't have to wear that long face that you've had a hard week or anything like that, but just the fact that somebody knows where you are, there's encouragement. There's friendship in the house of God. And then we hear the word of God preached and it speaks to us. And how often have you sat in the church and thought, how do they know that situation? He doesn't, the pastor or the preacher doesn't know. But God knows, and he wants to encourage us. So we need to be constantly and continually in the house of God. They that live or will flourish like a palm tree, those that dwell in the house of the Lord. They'll be strong like the cedars of Lebanon. There is encouragement, as I've already said. There's salvation. And if we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Are you finding it? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. Take heed unto the doctrine. How can you not take heed to how do we take heed to the doctrine? By reading the Word of God. Oh, my notes have just disappeared. What happened? Okay, let's see. Oh, here it is. So there is fellowship in the house of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. This is Psalm 1, verse 1. And blessed is the man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful, but blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. So we find these things in the house of God. We find fellowship in the house of God. We find encouragement in the house of God. We find instruction of how to continually be saved in the house of God. There is growth. There's friendship, all in the house of God. So our number one habit after being born again is to be in the house of God. Our number two habit that I'd like to talk about tonight is prayer. And prayer is simply communication with God. Can you imagine a relationship with somebody and you don't talk? I think that would be a very strange relationship. The most important ingredient of any relationship is communication. There's a saying that talks about prayer, and it says 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Now that's W-E-A-K. If you haven't prayed, you are weak. You are more vulnerable. But the good news is that if you master habit one, being in the house of God, then number two will be very easy, because if you're in the house of God, we have prayer. There's always times of prayer. So it won't be that you have to wait a whole week or a month before you pray. In the house of God, you'll also hear you'll have the opportunity to hear praise reports about prayers being answered, and you become so encouraged. You hear specific prayer needs, and you can go away and pray for those needs during the week, and hopefully you will be motivated to pray when you hear the praise reports. But what would happen if you started praying not just at church, but on your own as well? What if you committed and started every day with prayer? Jesus' disciples that walked with him for those 3 years of his public ministry, they watched him, they observed him, and he would withdraw from them for different times and seasons. And those times and seasons were times and seasons of prayer. They could see the strength and the fruit of his prayer life. Sometimes he got up early in the morning to pray. Other times he stayed up all night to pray. The scripture talks about that. If Jesus had to pray to accomplish all that he was given to do, then how much more do we need to pray and communicate with God? We need to develop a prayer life. His disciples never asked Jesus to teach them to preach. And he's a great preacher. They never asked him, how do you gather the crowds like you do? They never asked that they could do miracles. But the disciples said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And as I've said, prayer is communication with God. There is no strict way to pray. Just pray, talk to God. Share your heart, reveal yourself to God. He already knows anyhow, but just take that time to communicate with him. Prayer is where we can ask God to give us wisdom. And we need wisdom in this day. In James 1 chapter 5, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God. He will give it to you, and he will not rebuke you for even asking. In prayer, we can ask God to help us overcome temptations that we may struggle with. Pray. The Bible says in Matthew 26, 41, pray so you do not give in to that temptation. We need a prayer life. In our time for prayer, we can pray for missionaries and other countries that God will save many people and fill them with the same joy and the peace that you experience. Paul urges us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. I exhort, that means I encourage. This is Paul. He says, I encourage, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for all kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So us praying for the rulers and the kings and all those in authority is so that we will live a quiet and peaceable life. There's benefit for us if we would pray, for this is good and acceptable. So we need to learn to really pray. We can pray that God would open doors of opportunities for us to share our newfound love, peace, and joy. If we are sick or we know those who are sick, we can ask God to heal. In James chapter 5, it talks about if we're sick, call for the elders. They will anoint us. They will pray the prayer of faith, resulting in healing. We have a powerful, we have a merciful God. He just needs us to cry out to him. We need to be bold in our prayers to God. Relationship with God comes through prayer. Praying in our native tongue, but yes, as in the book of Jude, we are encouraged, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There are times we will pray in our native tongue, but there are times when we are feeling like we are interceding for someone or somewhere or some country or a situation or something. Or our love is so strong that we just pray in our most holy faith, building ourselves up, praying in the Holy Ghost, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's in Jude 1, or the only chapter of Jude, 20 and 21. Our ultimate goal should be that we are able to do what 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says and instructs us to do. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and give thanks to God. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you, living every day, moment by moment, with the consciousness of the presence of God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If we are talking with him, he will be listening. His ear is not heavy or dull that he cannot hear. So we need to develop that communication with God. We need to be thankful to God. Don't say we don't have anything to pray about, because we're instructed many times to pray for the leaders and those in authorities and those. So we need habit one, be in the house of God. Habit two, prayer. Habit three is Bible study or memorizing scripture. Once you've developed the spiritual disciplines of coming to church and praying daily, you will no doubt find yourself hungry to hear more from God. The Word of God is his love letter to his people. In it, you find amazing, incredible things. But let me just ask you, have you ever had a love letter? I was looking for something up in the wardrobe just last week, and I discovered in one of the shoeboxes up there some love letters. So, of course, being me and being the sticky beak that I am, of course I have to open it up and you start reading and, you know, all the love, love, love in these love letters. But that is the same with the Word of God. When we read the Word of God, He tells us that we are the apple of His eye. And that's just what we need to hear. He loves us. He tells us in Psalms, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and marvelous are God's works. And that my soul knoweth right well. These are scriptures that we have to commit to our memory, because there's enough negativity out in this world. But when we go to the Word of God, it tells us who we are and how much He loves us. In the Word of God, we read that if we will observe and obey, we will have courage and our ways will be successful and we will prosper. Joshua 1:8. While He certainly will speak to you through the anointed preaching and the singing of church service, you should also train yourself to hear His still small voice in your personal prayer time and Bible reading. Someone once said that the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, is basic instruction before leaving earth. If you want to know how to prepare yourself for heaven, it's all within the 66 books of the Word of God. While that description is true, it is also a roadmap to navigate every aspect of our life. And we often hear it in the church. Go back to the first principles. If you don't understand something, go back to the first principles. God's word is complete. The Bible says in Psalms 19, the word of God is more to be desired than gold and sweeter than the honeycomb. But also in Ephesians, it talks about the word of God being the armor. And the Apostle Paul said, we need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And my foster dad used to say, my goodness, if you came to church without the word, your sword, what good is a soldier without his sword? So I know we carry the sword with us on our phones and on our iPads and that, but really the pages, I love to turn the pages of the Word of God. We know that when Jesus faced temptation in the wilderness, it was the Word of God that defeated Satan. Every time Satan would come to Him, He would say, "It is written." We need to be so bold to say, "It is written," just like Jesus did. And we need to read the Word of God to be skilled in using those scriptures. I'm not the best reader, but I do make it a daily habit to read. And sometimes I go further than just reading. I take time to study. I get onto a theme or a thought, and I love to look into the background, especially in the Old Testament. Why did God say that? What on earth is that for? What is the purpose of that? I don't ask it in a questioning way. I ask it in a way that I might understand, and I desire to understand why God said what He says. The seeds will grow if they are planted in good soil. We see that throughout the New Testament in Matthew and Mark and Luke. But if I have convinced you that it would be beneficial for your walk with God to learn more about His Word, there are so many Bible reading plans out there. I know there's an app for everything. The Bible in 1 year, read through the Bible in 2 years, read through the New Testament in 40 days. I challenge you on that one. That nearly killed me. So much reading. But there's so many. And on the Bible app, there are so many themes that you can pick up and read through and encourage yourself. There's plans for all ages. I love it. I love it. But let me say one good thing that I've remembered from very long ago is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed is he that reads the word of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written therein, for his time is at hand." It says, blessed are they who read. So you want a blessing? Read the Word of God. It's It's as simple as that. Who doesn't want to be blessed? Who doesn't want a blessing? The word of God is forever settled. The word of God is sure. It is powerful and it will not pass away. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11 says, "For as the rain comes and the snow from heaven and it doesn't go back, it returns and waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, says the Lord. It shall not return void, but it will accomplish that which I please, and it may prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." The word of God is powerful. If God said it, I believe it, and that should settle it in our hearts. So a fourth habit, ministry involvement. I promise you that if you commit to the three habits, attending church, praying, reading, you will grow spiritually. One way to determine if you're growing is that spiritual growth will fuel your hunger inside of you to share what you are learning with others. You get so excited about what God is doing. And your desire for God to use you will advance his kingdom. Instead of being concerned with your own. Remember, we are talking about being born again. What next? We have turned from our thinking of ourselves the whole time into God's kingdom. The best way to see that is to be involved in ministry. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be a preacher next Sunday. There is much, much more than just ministry behind the pulpit. We are part of a body. We are all part of a body. You may be the helping hand, or you may be the big toe. Covered up, yes, but it's necessary for stability. Or you may be the eye looking to see who needs encouragement or needs a friend. There are people who just look around, oh, they're lonely. I could be a friend. These are all part of the body. We all have a ministry. We are all called to be faithful in the area of our service and involvement. We feel called to. Sometimes involvement costs. Service costs us more than we expected. But our God is no man's debtor. Sometimes involvement and our service will take us beyond that which we think we're capable of. But God is no man's debtor as far as time or energy or even finances. So get involved in the church of God. Get involved. Be an encourager. Be a vital part in the kingdom of God, but in the body of Christ as well. Habit 5, a system of personal development. We need to be intentional about our personal growth. These habits that we've talked about must become part of who we are. In the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 14, it informs us that those who overcome and are victorious will be called, or will be, the called, the chosen, and the faithful. If we live that victorious life, and we can only do that as we strengthen those personal habits that we have set. To stay faithful, it will require that we commit to growing spiritually. When Jesus was left behind at the age of 12, he was found in the temple. What was he doing? He said he must be about his father's business. That's in Luke chapter 2. If I ask you, making spiritual growth your top priority, then I will ask you, do you intentionally take time each day to seek and to sit in the presence of God? I was raised with the thought that first among books, before you go doing anything else for the day, was to read the Word of God. First among people, before you go out socializing and taking calls and nowadays, checking on the phone and all this sort of thing, is the presence of the Lord. And first among your money was your tithes. So what do we do first? We have to make ourselves have some disciplines of personal involvement, development. The old-fashioned word, have you had your quiet time today? The Bible says that during the Jesus' teenage years, he grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God and man. That's in Luke chapter 2. Why would he not expect us to do the same? Do you need wisdom? Well, if you do, you could be like my husband. When we were first married, he needed wisdom. So he would read to me a chapter of Proverbs every night because he believed that wisdom from the Word of God was the answer to every relationship. So my advice, if you're having relationship problems, get into the book of Proverbs. It will help. There's wisdom there. What about he grew in stature? That's confidence. Confidence in who we are in God, strong and disciplined in character and conduct. And then he grew in favor with God. As in the book of Daniel, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. We have to have that relationship with God because when we are in prayer, he will speak to us, he will touch us, he will show us what we need to do. We need to have that relationship, a strong relationship. And then it says favor with man, mature attitudes. When it comes to showing forgiveness, how are we? The Bible says there will be offenses. Offenses are not the problem. It's how we deal with them. That's the issue. Where people see us being merciful or forgiving or loving or restoring relationships, they will see that this is different. We will grow in favor with God and man. So we are growing. We are a work in progress. And like the Apostle Paul, he realized he was not perfect. And there were many things that he was not pleased with about himself. But he did say in Philippians there, he said, I just forget the things which are behind. I reach forward. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And brothers and sisters, we have a God who has called us. It is a high calling. We need to know our God because then we will be strong. Paul said some things here. It doesn't count himself to have apprehended or to taken a hold of or to understand. But this one thing I do. And this one thing many of us need to do, forgetting those things which are behind, reach forth unto those things which are before us and press. Reaching and pressing are extending ourselves. I kind of think if I want to reach or press, I have to discipline myself to change where I am to get to another position because this is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So, as our subject title tonight, born again, what now? So, I've just shared with you, there are many, many habits that we need to do. But these four habits, I believe, are good structures for us. So, let's go through them. I'll go back to the beginning here. Habit one is church attendance. Whenever the doors are open and the lights are on, try to be in the house of God. Habit two, prayer, communication with God. Establish yourself a prayer life, be it 5 minutes or 5 hours or whatever, but take time to communicate with God. Each of us need to have communication with our friends, but let's communicate with God. Then the third habit we need to start to develop is Bible study, but scripture memorization, because this will feed your soul. And it's amazing when you're in a situation, the scripture comes and you're like, oh, I do remember that. And it will help you in this situation. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And our number four habit is ministry involvement. Do what you can do and do it heartily unto the Lord. And then number five, where did I go? Work out how you're going to grow, your personal development. Be intentional about your spiritual growth. Amen. I hope you've enjoyed this study tonight. God bless you. Have a great week, and we will see you at the weekend. Amen.